right. He said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant observation. The woke Reich, because these people, you know, they're not any different from the woke left. I mean, they're insane. They're mm-hmm. lunatics. But they're actually meeting on some of the things. And what we have to do is we have to secure that part of our, the base of our support in the United States. That is being challenged systematically. A lot of this is done with money. Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster. Okay? We have to fight back. How do we fight back? Our influencers. I think you should also talk to them if you have a chance, to that that community. They're very important. Mm. And secondly, we're going to have to use the tools of battle. You know, the weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well. Okay? And you can't fight with cavalry. That doesn't work very well. And you have these new things, you know, like drones, things like that. I won't get into that. But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are the social media. And the most important purchase that is going on right now is class.
Followers.
TikTok. TikTok. Number one.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm telling you, man, I wish I had one shot, just one shot to mollywop that guy. I get really sick of seeing his face and hearing his mouth. You haven't heard any other politician from any other country more than you've heard this man's mouth, who had to change his name to fit Hebraic customs and traditions of Israelites, Negroes, to even be somebody in Israel. And everybody knows he changes his name from some Polish or some German origin or where whatever cave he came out of. But he changed his name to sound more Hebraic. I'm not going to say Jewish because obviously his name, the Netanyahu, the Yahu is what most of the Israelite prophets had in their name, like Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. These people are truly a pathetic race. And not even a race of a religion. I'm just talking about, in general, a race. And what they're being used for. But somebody has to do it. Sometimes I struggle with why this world has to be the way it is. Like, why? Like, why can't things just change? Not to say I wanted to force Yahuwah's hand. But why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to go through the trials and tribulations? Why does it have to be set up from Adam all the way to the end with the Antichrist? Why couldn't things just be changed differently where we didn't have to suffer through these people? Day in and day out, we have to suffer through them. Mind you, I'm not paying attention to them like every single day. Like, it affects my mood and it affects what I do in my day-to-day life. It really doesn't. But you come to a point where you just get tired of hearing them. You get tired of their threats. You get tired of this, tired of that. And these people don't have the power that they think they have. The reason why they have to do press conferences, the reason why they have to keep continually posting and buying up media is to scare you and put fear in you, because that's how Satan works. He works through fear. This is the reason why he has such power over death. Because of the unknown and not knowing that we would conquer death, that he owned it to where everybody just worshiped whatever religions, whatever deity that he put in front of man's face, because he said, hey, you only live once. You might as well enjoy all of it at the same time. You don't know what's going to happen after this. There's no evidence to tell that there's ever going to be a life for you if you do this life any other way. So that's why Yahuwah had to bring in Yahusha to show that there is a life after this. And you have to live according to the life after this one, not according to the life in this generation, or in this life now. So this is where they get all of their programming. They get it through fear. Just like Yah wants us to fear him by following his law, statutes, commandments, They want us to fear Satan by us doing whatever we want. We don't want you to follow the commandments. We don't want you to follow the statutes. Do whatever you want for the heaven here on earth rather than the heaven to come. And still, he instilled a little bit of doubt in the minds of believers, a doubt in the minds of those who don't know Yahuwah for themselves. Enough doubt to say, you know what? There is no life after this, especially if they're using Christianity as the basis for eternal life. That is the problem. Most people don't understand that the book of the Israelites is a completely different people, that it is not a religion of Jews and not a religion in the New Testament of Christians. But people only take what they see and hear without investigating it for themselves. So a lot of these snares and traps that people are going to fall into will be awakening to who we are first, and then to find out that the life that we are guarding ourselves for is going to eventually come by the destruction of this one. You got to. You have to. By deduction, understand that this has to be flipped over sometime soon. If you look at what happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, when did all of a sudden we become gung-ho about Freemasonry, Satanism, Luciferianism, and all types of wickedness? Why all of a sudden now is this degeneration where they turn the volume up on sin? It has to come to an end. It has to. It can't just go on forever. There has to be a stopping point. So even if you didn't open up the Bible, and even if you didn't pay attention to Scripture, you within yourself have to in your mind say, you know what? This has to go somewhere. Where is this going? This can't be the only life we know is heartache, trauma, tribulation, trials, without any sense of peace, without any rest, resources dwindling itself down to its most finite portions, money and opportunity and jobs drying up, AI being instilled in basically everywhere, even in the entertainment lifestyle. Even in entertainment, AI is starting to conquer. Hollywood actors, musicians are in fear of their jobs because of AI. Where is this going? It's like they're preparing for mass death, mass destruction. They want you to detach from Hollywood, detach from the music industry and the idols that you have known and loved, so you won't miss them when they go underneath. You won't miss them when they're destroyed. That's why they're bringing this up. That's why they're bringing AI into it. You're not going to miss people who used to cook and make your burgers and fries. You're not going to miss the people who used to do your deliveries, because now they got unmanned delivery trucks and cars. The whole thing is not to miss people when they are gone. They gave you this in Avengers Endgame. They gave you this in the Spider-Man movies, when they talked about people blipping and coming back. This time it ain't going to come back. Just like the movie Him. They want you to believe that this man went through all of that to turn down a Freemasonic oath. Well, we know most players take that oath, the ones that they pre-select or have selected before they came into the league. They know exactly what type of people are susceptible to oaths. But they want you to believe that there's good enough people that will turn away from it and turn away from it the blessings and gifts that Satan could promise you. Like I said, they want you to believe that this is going to go on forever, that this is what the world is going to be for us to endure forever, that wickedness will never have a backstop. Now, it will get worse than this. It will even get worse than the trials or the tribulations of 7 years for a time period. But you'll understand it more, that it has to come to a stop when you know it has reached its stopping point. It's reached the peak of wickedness. So to go back to Benjamin Netanyahu, their threat is to own up the internet. You know why TikTok and most social media platforms are a threat? It's because the truth gets out. I argued with some brother on TikTok that wanted us as a people to fight back. And I said, what would be the point of fighting back? Every time the Negro has fought back against his oppressors, we have lost and we have been infiltrated and all of our movements have been watered down. We can go all the way back to Nat Turner. Yeah, he unalived a couple of white folk. But at the end of the day, we still went through those curses. We still went through that slavery. We could use Harriet Tubman. Okay, she got some slaves to escape through Canada. Because she was working for the Northern Army, she got some slaves that she rescued from the South to be indentured servants to whites in North America. So, the northern part of America. Curses still happen. Slavery still went on. And you get into the civil rights movement. We believed in nonviolent marches to mingle and to lose our infrastructure as a community, as a people, as a financial powerhouse to our own. We lost that trying to mingle in with the Dixiecrats. We literally tried to be under the party that founded the KKK and thought that was going to ensure us freedom. That was going to ensure us that we would rise as a community. We went downwards after the civil rights movement. We went downwards. If we didn't seek their rights, if we didn't seek to sit where they wanted to sit, if we sought to not ride in their buses, we would have had our own buses, just like we had our own restaurants, just like we had our own plumbers, our own electricians. We had our own Wall Street. The one in Tulsa wasn't the only one that was popping. They had one in North Carolina. We had multiple Black Wall Streets. We were fine in Tulsa. We didn't try to intermingle into their society. We had our own movie theaters, our own schools. It was pure jealousy and curses that caused it to go up in flames. But again, nothing that we did then helped us. It truly didn't. You go to the Black Panther Party. We didn't have the firepower to go against the police. We didn't. Because the police, if they couldn't handle it, had the FBI. FBI couldn't handle it, they had National Guard. So we were always going to be outmanned and outgunned. And after a while, we started to become infiltrated, just like the civil rights movement. It was already set up by Prince Hall Freemasonry and Black Greek organizations. So we already was going to fight a losing front. But when it came to the Black Panther Party, the leaders started to merge because they want attention, started to merge with Prince Hall Freemasonry. And then Bobby Rush, who was a Black Panther then, was a Black Greek organization out of IOTA. He ends up becoming a politician who was one of the Negroes, one of the only Negroes who ever been in the Black Panther Party who signed Bill Clinton's 1994 crime bill law. He says he regrets it now, but it's too late. The damage has already been done. One man out of one party of thousands across the entire country sunk an entire movement and continued to do so. Black Lives Matter. You actually thought that three lesbian women was going to get up there and save Negroes in this country. You really thought that. Not knowing that the four or five men who started the Black Lives Matter movement, all turned up dead in Missouri, one after another, within a 2-month span. Some of them even weeks apart were found burned up in their car, found shot and dead, or whatever, or found dead. The founding male members that really got that Black Lives Matter started after the young boy got murdered in the streets, they were all found dead. And then what you saw after that was a gay man with a blue vest and 3 lesbian chicks who were susceptible to Marxism, a Jewish doctrine. So why fight back? The best way we can fight back, the best way, is to expose the enemy. Because obviously, if they worried about TikTok and social media, that means the truth is on there. And we don't even have to lift a sword. We ain't putting on boxing gloves. We're not out in the streets with shields, with Molotov cocktails. We're not even doing none of that. Some of us are in the comfort of our own homes, sharing the information we know through the Ruach Yahuwah of discernment, of knowledge and wisdom. That's it. That's what they have a problem with. And it goes all the way back to when Yahushua spoke to the Jews or spoke to the Yehudim. When he accused them or told them, you are of your father, Satan, who was a liar from the beginning. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own language. This is what these people are. Liars. So what would be their number one concern? It would be the truth. He even admits it. It's no point of going into cities and towns and states with knives and swords. That only makes the truth brighter. Because you would say, like, why are they becoming martyrs for the truth? Because the truth gets out. So they're like, all right, we might as well control the platforms in which the truth is shared on. But other than social media, other than TikTok, they already own the VPNs. If you don't understand VPN data, it's important because it ensures privacy, it enhances security, and enables access to unrestricted content by encrypting your internet traffic and masking your IP address. This protection is crucial when using public Wi-Fi, safeguarding sensitive information like passwords and banking details from hackers and other unauthorized access. Additionally, VPNs protect against online tracking by ISPs and allow users to bypass geographical restrictions and government censorship for more private and open online experience. These are the companies that Israel already owns: ExpressVPN, CyberGhost VPN, Private Internet Access PIA, ZenMate, Ghost VPN, Hotspot Shield, VPN Unlimited, ProxyMaster, and DNS Shield. This is just some of the companies that they own, that these Israeli firms own. I'm telling you, they're gonna mangle the truth, they're gonna shadow ban it, and then they're gonna go into your bank accounts. So I'm telling you, all those blackouts or those little hacking moments that we've had in Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and other these little mom and pop banks, watch out. I'm not telling you to take your money out and do all this, because we are protected. We are protected by a different source. We are protected by a different matrix. But those who aren't protected by the Torah, who are susceptible to this world, regardless if they're sharing the truth or not, even if they pass it or reblog it or retweet it, they are opening themselves up to be hacked. They're opening themselves up to be gang stalked. They're opening themselves up to lose everything they've ever worked for. Their financial security just through their VPN. Because that's what they're tracking. I said this before. I said when everybody was sharing that Kanye West Hail Hitler song, when everybody was sharing that, I thought it was funny. But they kept you overusing it with every meme. I'm like, the reason why they had this Prince or Freemason make that Hail Hitler song, so they can track where it goes. Even if it's used in a meme, they want to track it because they know it's an association to them. This is going back to the days of Leo Frank. If you know how the ADL got started, Leo Frank, a Jew, when the whole thing of blood libel came into question, he went into Atlanta, or he was in Atlanta, opening up business. This young girl, Miss Fagan, came in to receive money for her work, and then she vanished, or she disappeared. She disappeared from her family, and she was found at the warehouse by a black night watchman. And then that black night watchman was accused and arrested for what happened to this girl. And somehow, if you go through the story, they end up finding out that it was Leo Frank's fault. And then what they found out is she had marks on her that she was sexually assaulted, and it looked like blood libel, a word that they made up. So she was abused, and it looked like blood was drained from her, something like that. And then they lynched him. Until this day, they still think he's innocent. If you look up Leo Frank, it would say, because of anti-Semitism, this is what happened to Leo Frank. But you have to understand, in 1920s in the Deep South, fam, in the Deep South, they chose not to lynch this black man, but they chose to lynch Leo Frank. That means the evidence was so blaring, so obvious, that they knew it wasn't this black man. Now, I don't know if y'all had anything to do with it, but that is a blessing. Because in a time where they had no problem lynching Negroes for even winking at white women, they chose not to lynch this man and chose to lynch Leo Frank. And that's how the ADL started. So now, anything that you share about these people is going to be looked at as anti-Semitism. And you're going to be looked at as a threat, as a domestic terrorist. So Pete Hegseth, which is the most corniest white man I have ever seen on TV. I wonder if you young white males look at Pete Hegseth and like, I'm embarrassed that I'm a white male because of Pete. Like, he's caught at Washington Redskins games trying to do the gritty and doing the okay sign on his eyes at the same time. I mean, I shared this video before, but just look up Pete Hegseth at the Redskins game. Just look how corny this man is. He can't stop putting his hands in a pyramid, which is more obvious, which means he's never been on a platform to get this much fame, this much notoriety. So he's doing this whole General Patton speech in front of the American flag, in front of these generals that he called back for this meeting. They could have had this meeting in private. They could have. They truly could have. They could have had this meeting in private. But why would they show you this meeting? Why would they show you this General Patton-esque light speech? Because they want to pump you up, especially lost white males in this country. That's why they're using Charlie Kirk. They use him to get all these young white Christian men riled up to protect something that them as a race have already destroyed this country in doing. If they are so tired of the woke agenda, look at themselves. Black folk ain't making no woke agendas. Black folks don't own Disney. Black folks ain't making movies. Black folks ain't inserting queer characters into movies or into traditionally white roles. That's their race doing that. So now they're trying to scurry up the emotions of young white males who are Christians to go into the army to be used for Israel to go after not only the enemies of Israel, which are foreign and domestic. Foreign and domestic, they want to use their energy, use their stupidity to do it. He got up there talking in his speech about, oh, our enemies, you know, we're going to unleash this and you have this warrior ethos. That's for us. It ain't for no enemies of any third world country. It's for us. We are going to be the enemy. The truth is their enemy. Because any major false flag that's about to come out in the next 4 or 5 years, they do not want it taken down. They do not want it exposed. And what they're realizing with the Charlie Kirk situation, it don't take but 72 hours for all the truthers and conspiracy theorists to rip that whole ritual to shreds. It was even less than that. When it started, people are already on it. So if they want a ritual, if they want the spell to last longer than 2 days or even a week, they have to mangle social media. They're already putting out the narrative for you. New York, the FBI, all of a sudden found these devices that would cause the telecommunications system in New York to go down. They don't tell you when they found these devices. They don't tell you where they found these devices. They don't even tell you or share with you who had these devices. But somehow the FBI found multiple telecommunication devices that would cause the networks to go down in New York City. They don't, like I said, they don't tell you who did it. They just tell you that's what they found. At the time that Israel is buying up VPNs and trying to buy and take control of TikTok. So the ritual that is coming, they want it to last for longer than a couple of days. They want it to be dark. They want it to have a lasting impression on souls so people could either do one or two things, panic and take their money out. And once you take your money out, the banks will get closed and then they tell you, hey, we're going to CBDC. We no longer take cash. So now you took all that cash out and it'll be just like the Weimar Republic where you stuck with wheelbarrows of cash, can't do nothing with it, but do what Venezuelans are doing with their money, making it into street art. If you look up the most notable hyperinflations that have happened after a war, which is the reason why they change it from the Department of Defense to the Department of War, because they're telling you it'll be like the Weimar Republic. If you look at the hyperinflation that has happened between World War I, World War II, or really any war that they have funded, that there's always a hyperinflation either before or after it. Look what happens to the cash. Look what happens when people take their money out. Now, if it's going to get changed over to CBDC, what's in your account will be changed over to CBDCs. If you take your cash out because you're in fear, just like those did in the days of the Weimar Republic or World War I, World War II, if you take your money out, they'll tell you they can't accept it. When hyperinflation eats it all up, it'd be pointless. The dollar is already de-dollaring itself. This is not talking about it now. They mentioned it 3 or 4 years ago before this presidential election cycle. But all of a sudden, they're not mentioning it no more. But the dollar isn't where you think it is anymore right now. The dollar is not where it is right now. And you see hyperinflation is still eating up your dollar, because the eggs are still high, meat is still high. That's why they're getting ready to give you Beyond Meat. And people kept saying, oh, we ain't gonna eat it. I ain't gonna eat that Beyond Meat. Trust me, when your money is low, you're gonna turn to that Beyond Meat. Florida just funnels everybody into that Hegelian dialect theory, where DeSantis said, we won't have Beyond Meat here, and signed a law saying that there won't be any Beyond Meat sold or forced on the general public. I guarantee you, when that meat goes way up and you can't buy meat for your family, you can't buy the essentials for your little cookouts to go to your bread and circus, you are going to complain about changing that law into Beyond Meat. And then they'll give you the meat that you ain't supposed to be eating. And you don't know where they got this meat. I was watching a YouTube documentary. It was about the Talmud, but it got into blood libel. And it told me so many different examples of young Christian children being bled out and how the Jews, the Talmudic Jews, were being kicked out of every country because they kept getting caught doing blood libel, kept snatching Christian children off the street and poking them with pins and needles and bleeding out their blood, and some of them drinking the blood and some of them mixing it with the Passover bread. That brings up the A.B. Finkelstein's interview when he said that they use the aborted fetuses out of the abortion clinics and they move them to the McDonald's factories, and they mingle the blood of whatever children that were discarded in with the Passover. It was just, the interview made so much sense when you look at this YouTube video. I'll put the link of the video, hopefully if I can find it afterwards, in the description of this episode so you don't understand what I'm talking about. But it makes the interview that he said make sense, that everybody said it was a fake interview, that it was lie, blah, 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 blah. But why would you go through all that? Why would you make this interview all that? And then if you actually understood the history, it was more of these episodes or these examples happening in other countries that caused them to be removed out of these countries. So, like I said, fam, it's coming. That Beyond Meat, you don't know what that meat is. If Bill Gates got to have control of it and his companies, and you know his companies are ran and owned by Israel. Almost everything is ran by or owned by Israel. They just got these American gatekeepers. That's why I brought up Roger Goodell and his father. They're gatekeepers. So I'm telling you, y'all better start getting ready. Y'all start praying up. That's why I said, start doing these laws, says commandments. Start doing the Torah. Start worshiping and praising the Most High, how he wants us to worship and praise him, because that is going to be the bubble. That's going to be the hedge around you that will not allow you to be touched. Now, you may be tried just so you can work on your spiritual abilities, your spiritual gifts that need to come out during trials and tribulations to be purging you or try you like gold is tried in the furnace. That is how it shaped you. But at the end of the day, the foundation of it is worshiping and praising Yahuwah. If you go to Daniel 4, I don't know if I'm going to read this whole chapter. You know what? It's Daniel 4 is about when Nebuchadnezzar tried to speak highly of himself after Daniel gave him the dream. I'll start at 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Adonai the king, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, your kingdom shall be sure unto you. After that, you shall have known that the heavens do rule. King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most powerful kings during that time. So much wealth, treasure, land, people, cities, towns, even countries, is being told by a lowly servant of the Most High Yahuwah, Daniel, from the tribe of Yehuda, that his kingdom will be snatched from him. But it doesn't say why it would be snatched from him. It just said it's going to be snatched from him, and you're going to be running around this country, running around this land like an animal in heat. But never tell him why. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you, and break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. So this is Daniel telling him to do exactly what I've been telling you to do. Humbling yourself, breaking off your sins, breaking off your vices, showing mercy to the poor, giving your money, regardless of what they do with that money, give it to the poor, give it to the needy. And let Yah decide what they do with that money. So it'd be a lengthening of your tranquility, a lengthening of your calm, of your peace. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babel. Now, after 12 months, now did he do what Daniel said to do? It doesn't say. It just says at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babel. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babel that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, why, mind you, imagine you just in your head or even out of your mouth, like, I'm really that dude. I'm him. And before you even finish that him part, it says that there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass as oxen, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. The same hour. Now, we're not talking about the hour that's in heaven. We're talking about an earthly hour. So the moment it left his mouth, within that hour, the Most High had already prepared and stirred up ahead of time. You could say 12 months ahead of time have already begun to stir up the Ruach, because he knew exactly and knew exactly when Nebuchadnezzar was going to uplift and exalt himself beyond Yah. Because it was Yah that told Nebuchadnezzar that this is what you'll do to punish my children. So imagine, since America through numerology and gematria have kept bragging that this is Babylon, imagine what the Most High has already prepared days, years, millennia, centuries ahead of time to know exactly what this nation will and won't do in order for those plagues and those judgments to come upon man. The same hour was then the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what do you? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom and my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my princes sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now, just like I'm pretty sure the Most High used a spirit when he had a meeting in the heavens and asked who will go for us to persuade Ahab to go up to battle so he can die, and a lying spirit. So obviously there are lying spirits, there are envious spirits, jealous spirits, anger spirits that the Most High uses for his will or could command his will, and no one can stop or stay his hand when he gets started. That's why I love when the Most High tells us it'll be an expected end, which is found in Yirmiyahu 29. I'll read 29 and 30. I'll start at Yirmiyahu 29:4. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yisrael, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I cause to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babel. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye women and beget sons and daughters, and take women for your sons and give your daughters to men, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. This is the Most High when he send them to captivity. It's almost like what he would tell us if he didn't tell us that we would be destroyed through our enemies because of our disobedience when we went into captivity. This would be almost the same thing the Most High would have told us before the last captivity. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto El Yahuwah for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. So we are already set by a completely different rule. So it doesn't matter what civil war, what race war, or what war the government they're trying to drum up. Wherever we are in our respective towns, our respective suburbs, our respective cul-de-sacs or apartment buildings, we can pray for that building to have peace. We can pray for our floor, if it need be, to have peace, and we will have peace. For thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yasharel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreams. And this is beautiful if you understand when he said, in the last days, I will pour out my ruach upon all flesh. Your young men will have visions and your old men will have dreams, and you will begin to prophesy. Now, the counterfeit of that, and those who are in the midst of us, like Prophet Joshua and all these rapture apostles and rapture prophetic messages that you get online now, these is what he's talking about. Do not hearken to them. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. In my name, I have not sent them, says Yahuwah. I'm going to skip down to 12. Then shall you call upon me and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all of your heart. Religion is not seeking the Most High with all of their heart. They're not even seeking Jesus Christ with all of their heart. Because if they were, they wouldn't be turned into fools through the following of these rituals. Charlie Kirk would never even come out of their mouths in defense of him if they were following Jesus Christ. They wouldn't be Republicans and Democrats if they were following Jesus Christ. They wouldn't be in a religion if they were following Jesus Christ, because Yahushua HaMashiach was not a Christian. Paul was not a Christian. None of the apostles and none of those who preached or were the disciples were Christians. He says, and I will be found of you, says Yahuwah, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations. Again, this is a future prophecy found in the Old Testament. I will be found of you, says Yahuwah. So he's telling us, even then, when we went into captivity to Babel thousands of years ago, that he will again gather us. He will again hear us. He will again hearken to us. Hearken to us. And I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says Yahuwah, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Yirmiyahu 30, verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahuwah Sabaoth, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no longer serve themselves of him. Is a reason why we're not indentured servants. There's a reason why we're not in chattel slavery anymore. It's not because what the government did in 1860 or 1856. It ain't because of Juneteenth. It's not because of Martin Luther King. It's not because of Malcolm X and the 19th Civil Rights Bill. It's only because of Yahuwah. But they shall serve Yahuwah Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So David will be coming out of his grave, and I guarantee you that grave is not, or that tombstone is not in Israel. I guarantee it. I will be shocked and appalled that if the Most High raises up David and he comes up out of Israel. Especially when I know where the real biblical lands are. They wouldn't have David's body there. How can a people who praise and worship the Western Wall, that your girl, you Christians who are listening to me, your girl, Erica Kirk, was caught praising the Weeping Wall. That wall was created, or it was restored, by King Herod the Great. The same King Herod that unalived Israelite children out of Yehuda, because he sought Yahusha to slay him because of the Magi. So every politician that's ever gone over there to wore the little tiny hat and stand on the Weeping Wall as if they're having some heartfelt emotion is Antichrist behavior. Why would you exalt a man before David, who you admit that his tomb is in Israel? Why would you go to this wall that this Antichrist, through the unaliving of Israelite children, has restored this wall, and you praise it, and you weep at it, and you put prayers in the walls of it? Again, you Christians wouldn't be falling for this if you actually followed the gospel. Therefore, fear you not, O my servant Yaakov, says Yahuwah. Neither be dismayed, O Yasharel. For lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Therefore, fear you not, O my servant Yaakov, says Yahuwah. Neither be dismayed, O Yasharel. Nothing in that verse has anything to do with a religion or a denomination of a religion. This is why we're so proud. This is why we're so active right now. This is why we're so awakened and blessing the name of Yahuwah Elohaka. I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Yaakov shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says Yahuwah, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered you, a full end. Like I said before, the wickedness has to come to an end. The wickedness has to rise up. So the Most High said, all right, now it's time. And only the Most High knows the level or the frequency of which sin reaches up to his throne. If he can hear from all the way up there the blood that cries from the ground since Abel, I guarantee it, the Most High knows when there's a stopping point or when he's tired of hearing and seeing sin. Because the Most High flees from sin. The Ruach HaKodesh flees from sin. He even says it. He flees from it. Now, if it comes to a point where he's not able to flee from it, that he has to judge it, that's the full end of these nations. That's why it's going to reach a point. And people are like, oh, there is no God. Jesus is not coming back. There is no Yahusha. It has to go to a point where you be like, all right, now enough is enough. We get it. When he wants the entire world to be like, you know what? I can see why we needed the Bible. I can see why we needed commandments. I can see why we needed his Torah. That's the point we need to get to. The Most High don't show up till when you actually go through something, or when you at the bottom, or when you at the breaking point. I talked about this in a previous episode, how the Most High shows up literally at the last minute to let you know it's not by you who has caused your salvation. It's not by you, your power, your knowledge, and your works that cause you to be saved, but it's from me. It's me. Just like he told in Judges, just like he told an Israelite who was scared to go to battle, scared to go to war, against the neighboring tribes of the Canaanites. And the Most High said, I do not want you to take all of this people, because the people were like, you know what? Let's go. It's about a lot of us. It's a lot of us. Let's go to war and remove them. And the Most High said, no, I don't want you to take this much of the multitude. I want you to take 300 men. And then I want you to eradicate my enemies. And he said, the reason why I want you to take a low multitude is so Israel, Yasharel, doesn't get puffed up and think that they've done this on their own. So if you look at your life, you know the exact moment when the Most High saved you and you knew that you had no way out. And that's where he put you. He put you where you have no way out but him. So you can't say, oh, I ducked this because I was fast. I ducked this or I move this because I'm strong, because I've been working out in the gym and I was able to move this to free myself. The Most High is going to make it so heavy so you know when you move it or when he moves it, it's not because of your strength or your preparation, it's because of him. That's why I can't get with the whole, oh, let's amass all these resources, canned goods and all this. That's not how it's going to work. The Most High is going to put you in a situation where you have nothing in your house. And the day you start to go hungry, and the day you start praying, the day you, it feels like fasting to you, this is when a truck will fall out of the sky or a plane fall out of the sky, and all of a sudden it's a grocery store plane or a grocery store shipment and just drops all over your lawn, and you'll be like, boom, I know it's because of Yah, and it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of my readiness or my preparedness. It was because I prayed and asked for him to help me. For I am with you, says Yahuwah, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, and I will not leave you altogether unpunished. For thus says Yahuwah, your bruise is incurable and your wound is grievous. There is none to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. Everything that has happened to us is because we transgressed and have been transgressing. It has nothing to do with white supremacy, because white has never been that supreme. It has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with any other nation doing any other thing of us but by the hand of Yah. If you can make Nebuchadnezzar go eat grass, a grown man who's a king, go eat grass, what makes you think he can't make his people go through trials and tribulations and have their children putting bricks of buildings, thrown into rivers, and used as alligator bait? Why cry you for your affliction? Why do you use your victim card? Your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. I have done these things to you. I have done these things to you. That's when he talks about the expected end. I know my thoughts that I have of you or for you, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he's loyal to the oath that he gave Abraham. One man out of billions that have came and gone, one man that he's loyal to. Because of his faith. Now I want to change speeds a little bit.
I don't think I'm considered a hoe no more. I don't really got nobody in the last like two or three years.
She said no more.
Don't say no more.
No, your wholeness can get deleted. Your wholeness can get deleted.
I remember when Drea said that. And Drea was one of my, Drea was one of my hoes back in the day when I was at Kansas City. And it's funny that she said that your wholeness can get deleted, yet I am reading about Rahab the harlot 2,000 plus years after her death. And the only reason why I'm bringing that up, because it does say, when you read the book of Joshua, it says, Yahusha, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house, a hoe's house, named Rahab, and lodged there. Then it says, the city shall be accursed. Joshua 6:17 says, the city shall be accursed, even it and all the that are therein, to Yahuwah. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And Joshua 6:23 says, the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Yahshurel. And in James 2:25, it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Even Hebrews, Paul says in 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So even in scripture, she's known as Rahab the Ho. The only reason why I mention that too is because in Mattityahu, when they went down the genealogy of Yahusha, they never really mentioned the women but three women. If you go to Mattityahu 1:5, it says Salma begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. This is the only time it's mentioned in the genealogy, two women. Now, we know that Ruth was a Moabite. She was not the nation of Yasharel. And I'm asking you guys through the discernment, was this the same Rahab? Is this the same Rahab that was a harlot, but now she's not called a harlot no more because did she merge into Yasharel? Did she stop being a hoe in order to be part of the genealogy of Yahusha? It says Salma begat Boaz. So was Boaz's mother Rahab? Because after Boaz, Boaz begat Yishai. And then Yishai begat David. And then David, Shaloma. And it goes all the way down as the genealogy of Yahusha. I read that today. I was like, huh. They kept that outside of the genealogy. There's no other women that's mentioned other than Ruth, Rahab, and then Bathsheba's not really mentioned. It just says, and verse 6, and Yishai begat David the king, and David the king begat Shaloma of her that had been the woman of Uriahu. So this is showing you the three important instances of what makes these women different from other women. We know Uriahu's woman was taken through adultery by David. We know Ruth was a Moabitess, that she had her own book, that she had a very substantial story of Yasharel in order for her to be chosen to be grafted in and used as a holy branch. Now we have Rahab, and we know that Rahab the harlot. We know that the Yashareli saved Rahab and her family. Now, she must have been sojourning with Yasharel this entire time after the fall of Jericho. It doesn't say she went and lived with other Canaanite tribes. Now, they says that they kept her without the camp of Yasharel. It says, and left them without the camp of Yasharel. Did they leave her behind? But was she already out? Was she outside the camp and just followed? Because why would they mention how Boaz became to be when they haven't mentioned none of the women in the previous verses of Mattityahu 1 when it came to the genealogy? I'm asking you guys, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think this is the same Rahab? And if that's the case, then yes, Yah can erase your wholeness. It can be deleted. But when it comes to us and this, in your story and where you fit in that story, you will be a hoe. You will be a hoe. But you could be a powerful hoe. You could be a hoe of use. We know Hosea's wife was a hoe. We know Yahusha had a thing when he was around hoes. The woman at the well, when he told her, yeah, you're right, that ain't your man. You have a couple of men. And she went and go brag. Ooh, guess what he told me? He told me, the one I got is not really my man, but I have a couple of men. He telling me I'm a hoe. He found out I was a hoe, y'all. Even the woman that was caught in the act of being a hoe, when she was an adulteress, she was caught in the act. Is there a connection, is what I'm saying? Is there a connection with the women that Yahusha talked with and tried to admonish, which were all hoes? Is this a signaling to Rahab, saying they can be saved? They can be of use. They are to be denied. They can be changed. Because the nation of Yasharel have always been whores, spiritually. And we can be saved. We are the bride that keeps sleeping around. But the time's coming where he's going to take away our lovers. That's what it says in Yirmiyahu. Our lovers won't have anything to do with us. Soon enough, we won't be able to go into Christianity. Soon enough, we won't be able to go into Judaism. Soon enough, we won't be able to go into Islam. These things are going to be taken from us. New Age, Kemet, it's going to be taken from us. They aren't going to want us around them because we're going to be shown through the brightness of our salvation, the brightness of our Yeshua, that we are the real thing. And when you find out you are the real thing, you don't want to be like everybody else. The reason why people are like everybody else now, because in their respective spots, their respective communities, their respective circles, they are the rebels. They are the ones that's doing it different than everybody else. Even though they're part of the same matrix, part of the same system. And when you see that the system is converging onto one aspect, which is Luciferianism, you then you say, you know what? I don't want to go this way. Some of us already caught in this early. We already found out, oh, okay, this is what we are. I don't want to be like this. I'm not going to go into religion. Some people are waking up out of being trans and jumping right into Christianity now. Because of the fame and the glory they get from it. They think this is the next transition, is to go into a religion. Us, who have been chosen and pre-selected before time, we see it as, oh, I can't go into these religions because I know the truth of the matter. I want something more real than just a religion because we already lived in the religion. See, people who are at the bottom of wickedness, they cling on to what they think is holy and righteous, which is religion. That's all they know. And it's still part of a system. It's still part of a group. So when they looked at, they are looked at as the outsider. Now they go into religion and they feel more of an outsider because they think they're following the Most High God. They think they're following Yahusha. So that's why I feel sorry for those who truly are at the bottom of the pit of wickedness, because then they have to try to climb up different branches of religion and denominations to find that thing, and they may not ever find it. But some of us who were already from the birth knew exactly what we didn't want anymore, we were able to come out of it faster. We did the legwork. We didn't go too far deep in sin to be like, all right, I just need to be a part of religion to feel something. Some of us are like, all right, I know something's wrong with me and I'm in a religion and I know that ain't saving me because what I'm doing in a religion. So I know this ain't it. And then you depart from it and you're like, ah, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I truly wanted and needed. And once you understand that part, you understand this, how this world works and how they will use fear. But we are already dead to this world, so they ain't putting fear into us. They putting fear into those who they want to expose that their faith isn't really the faith that they think is from the scriptures. That's what they wanted. That's what they want to expose. And when they expose it, they will funnel everybody into the Luciferian agenda and everybody will be Satanists and marveling after the beast. And that's why they keep setting up images of different Christian men to for you to follow and different men of righteousness or uprightness masquerading as righteousness. That's why they keep setting up these images and dropping them down in front of you so you keep funneling yourself or keep falling over the next image they give you, and that image will be the beast. And that's where you'd be like, ah, this is the guy I've been waiting on. This is the one I've been looking for. I'm glad it's this guy and not the black guy coming out of the sky. And that's what they want to trap you with. I'll see y'all next time.